Hey, welcome back to Politico Tech. Today's Thursday, April 18th. I'm your host, Stephen Overly. Our language, how we speak, the words we use, is fundamental to our cultural identity. I sometimes think about this anecdote I heard about the author Jhumpa Lahiri, who midway through her career taught herself Italian and became fluent enough to write books in it, all because she wanted to see how a new language might open up a new world. But a bunch of European countries are worried that artificial intelligence might erase those languages and the cultures that come with them. They wonder, as AI spreads, will it effectively create a universal language? And will it be one dictated by Americans, with all of our cultural and linguistic idiosyncrasies? Those concerns may well be valid. But I also wondered, to what extent all of this talk about losing language and culture was perhaps coded for being left behind in the AI race? I mean, does a country like Spain or France really care about AI being built by native speakers? Or do they want to grab hold of this cash cow of the future? My colleague John Volpicelli has been covering the growing concerns from Brussels. In particular, how 13 of the EU's 27 countries have plans to develop AI models in their native languages. Among them is an AI company in France called Mistral that appears to be farthest ahead. I dug into all this with John on today's show. Here's our conversation. John, welcome to Politico Tech.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Of course, you know, I've seen a number of headlines recently where European officials are raising concerns that U.S. technology is essentially threatening to erase the languages and cultures of Europe. What is the chief concern that you're hearing?
I think that one should probably distinguish between what we hear and what they likely mean. There was this speech, I think, a couple of months ago by the French finance minister, Bruno Le Maire, that phrased it in quite impressionistic terms, saying that there was a risk that Mark Twain would erase Stendhal, with a famous French writer. Essentially, that English-speaking AIs could somehow threaten the very existence of the French language, or at least French AI companies. I think that what's going on here is that there is widespread perception in Europe, in many European countries, at least in the major ones, the bigger ones, that the AI game has just started. And even if they are not ahead as the other US companies are, or maybe even Chinese companies are, they can still kind of play in this game in some ways. And they really are bridling at this scenario, at the prospect of losing the race, even when it comes to languages, to AIs speaking their own languages. So the idea that OpenAI might either dominate the AI scene completely with English-speaking AIs, but also possibly pipping France or Germany to the post and building very good French-speaking or German-speaking models, essentially outdoing these countries, even in their own domains, I think is one of the concerns, because these kind of worries come together usually with promises that there will be homemade French-speaking or German-speaking or Italian-speaking or Spanish-speaking models. So on the one hand, I think it's the usual, especially French, fear of cultural homogeneity. And on the other hand, I think they are very worried about the prospect of these AI companies based in the US building very good models, even in their own domestic languages, because that's happening, right? They're cutting deals with media companies in France, in Germany, in Spain, not yet in Italy, but maybe that's the next one. So these are twin concerns, I think.
It's interesting to me that they are kind of using language and culture as the reason to raise concern about all of this, right? To like get other people interested. Why is that such a sensitive topic?
I suppose part of it is just a rhetorical flourish. On the other hand, I think that it is true that when you create a large language model, an AI model, even one able to speak other languages. So you create a large language model in, let's say, the US or the UK or China. And usually these large language models, like ChatGPT, for instance, are able to speak other languages. But they do not always get the cultural sensitivities right. That's a fact. There's not much to quibble there. For instance, sometimes I use ChatGPT's voice function. I speak Italian to it. It answers in Italian, but it does have a strange way of phrasing things.
How is ChatGPT's Italian?
It's fairly good, but the accent is a Yankee accent. There's no way around it. Now, I realize that I'm Italian on an American podcast, so pot calling kettle black. But it is a thing that is very visible. It's just the epitome of the problem there. So I think that, especially, again, the French are very aware of cultural differences and cultural specificities, like politeness, like the plural form, like vous instead of tu. It's a little thing, right? But you want to get it right if you want to use AI, for instance, for public services or public administration. But also, I mean, this is really me going out on a limb here, but for instance, in France, there's a whole debate, even coming from President Macron, against the so-called wokeism, a woke culture. Mm. And so I think that in a way that's part of that kind of debate going on in some quarters of the internet about AI being a bit too attuned to certain morals, which the French don't want any track with. And it hasn't been said, but when it comes to cultural specificity, I can think of past statements by the president about this. Like, they don't want to be essentially shaped too much by what the US debate is.
You've written about how one of the efforts to kind of counteract this American dominance is countries like France and Spain, I believe, pushing mm-hmm. to develop large language models
yeah.
in the local languages. What are they trying to accomplish, and how widespread is that effort?
So what they're trying to accomplish, I think, first of all, it's one way to get a toehold in the AI race. And of course, the reason why they think they have an edge on this is that they have access as governments of various countries to a big, large troves of documents, official documents also, or archives in high quality material, essentially, that can be used to train large language models in their specific language. So they want to try to make them to be relevant in the space. I think that's a fair goal to have as a country who wants to be present, at least in the AI scene, in the AI industry. What else are they trying to do? I think it really depends, but there are two things that I keep hearing when I talk to officials and also entrepreneurs. One is that, again, they want to use these language-specific models to power some public services. So, for instance, there's a helpline for visas, for instance, or for public administration, for education, or just to get information about how the justice system works in France. And the second thing is that, in a way, creating these models can kickstart a whole ecosystem, right? So if you have a Spanish-speaking large language model, usually these models, the ones developed in Europe, almost all of them are open source. So that will encourage more people to build upon it and create applications in the domestic language, of course, but also home-brewed applications. So it is both an attempt to have what we said, as we said earlier, a culturally sensitive and linguistically appropriate model, but it's also about, in some way, boosting and bolstering a local AI ecosystem.
Are any of these models actually taking off or getting real traction?
Well, it depends on what you mean with traction. But I think that especially the French model Mistral, which is the most well-known one, has scored some victories. It is used a lot, even within Europe, as the backbone for further open source models, being open source itself. It recently struck a deal with Microsoft to power some of Microsoft's own applications. Now, of course, you can see the irony there, which is that the French standard bearer is essentially clinching partnerships with Microsoft, which is prime example of a US tech behemoth, but at least Mistral is well known. So at least technically, you can say it has been a partial success. It has taken off to an extent. It is helping other European countries develop their own versions.
I have seen, you know, French President Emmanuel Macron and Economic Minister Bruno Le Maire backing Mistral as sort of this EU and particularly French AI champion. Mm-hmm. What can you tell me about the company? Why does it seem to be getting all of this attention?
Well, I mean, I think that there are several reasons. First of all, it is indeed promising. Right now, I think it is actually news from today or yesterday, but they are eyeing an evaluation of $5 billion, which is not bad. Pentacorn, it's quite a good company, quite an achievement for a company that was born, I think, was founded less than 1 year ago or just 1 year ago. So they are a genuinely good company. They seem to have a good product. I do use it sometimes. And its results, and I mean, not worse than OpenAI's ChatGPT's. That's one thing. Second of all, I think that they are very well connected with the government itself. It's a well-known fact, of course, that one of its shareholders and advisors is Cédric O, who used to be digital minister in France, and also the co-founder of Emmanuel Macron's, the president's party. So certainly they have the ear of highest possible excellence of the French government. And then I think have been very aggressive in the, or very persistent in the advocacy. The advocacy, they made it very clear what they thought about some aspects of, for instance, the EU's AI regulation. They were very active on Twitter, on social media, in the press. And they were, yeah, of course, treasured by the French press itself and by the politicians. So I think it's a mix of being a good product, being fairly good at PR, and being very well connected with the government.
You mentioned that Mistral has taken money from Microsoft, but its connections to US tech do run deeper than that. I mean, the founders previously worked at Google and Meta. I know that Salesforce and NVIDIA have also backed the company. Would you say that there's already American influence even in the EU's, you know, AI champion?
I mean, I would retort by asking which domain of technology right now is not dominated by US companies. I mean, I think that's natural. If you want to create a business and you want to go mainstream and at least even just develop, train a large language model, you are going to have to deal with US companies just because they are so pervasive and, of course, so successful and large. So, yes, right now, of course, Mistral is still reliant on investors that are in the US, partners who are in the US, chip makers who are in the US. And that's natural. I don't think that the French themselves see it as a big contradiction. Because in a strange way, even if they talk a big talk on cultural colonialism or whatever you want to call it when it comes to a language, they are very happy to welcome US investors. I think that Meta is a massive AI hub in Paris. For sure, government officials blessed that launch. When Sam Altman visited Paris last year, the digital minister, Jean-Noël Barrot, was there essentially literally praising him like almost a demigod. He had asked ChatGPT to write a little poem celebrating Sam Altman's qualities and gifts. And of course, the bottom line was an elevator speech asking OpenAI to open an office in Paris. So I think they're pretty blasé about rubbing shoulders with USA tech giants if it helps the French ecosystem grow itself.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talk about technology in terms of regulation or economic competitiveness, and that may ultimately be what this is. But I think the cultural impact is interesting, too, because technology is turbocharging change that was already underway due to globalization, but now it can just happen much faster and at scale. And I think AI will probably only speed up the process.
Yeah, I suppose that as AI eats the world and might replace big chunks of the internet as we know it, of course, who wins in the AI domain is going to essentially means is going to mean that it's going to determine who also wins in the cultural domain at large, I suppose. I mean, if we are going just if the future of using the internet, I'm not saying it's going to be like that, but if it is going to be just us talking to a chatbot to get results about this or that fact, who controls the AI and who decides how the AI speaks and how the AI thinks and what the AI says and doesn't say, that's going to essentially control the culture, a big element of the culture at large. There's some worry, for instance, one thing that I was talking about the other day with a European lawmaker, there's a worry that US giants might end up essentially forcing out of the market all the other non-US companies when it comes to accessing paywalled articles from high-quality publications in various languages, because they can pay just much more, right? And the risk, he said, is that if we don't find a way to capitalize on our own editorial content, European models in their languages or other languages will have to only be trained on low-quality material or propaganda. So you end up essentially having OpenAI maybe having a fantastic ChatGPT trained on scientific papers and Miguel de Cervantes books, while Spain's model in this, of course, dystopian scenario would only regurgitate Chinese or Iranian or Russia propaganda, because that's the only thing that is free. So I think that's, of course, that cuts fairly close to the bone, right?
John, thank you for joining us on Politico Tech.
Thank you for having me.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's show comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I am Stephen Overley. I'll see you back here tomorrow.